Hey guys, this is Beth Golay. And before we get started with Marginalia, I just wanted to say that KMUW's podcast platform is made possible by High Touch Technologies, a software technology and business communications company that provides products, services, and support to all industries. High Touch brings the human touch to technology with a world-class team of industry experts. Learn more at hightouchtechnologies.com. And now, here's Marginalia.
This is Marginalia, a production of KMUW Wichita.
Marginalia, notes in the margin of a book.
Notes, commentary, and similar material written in the margin of a book.
Comments and notes which are incidental or additional to the main topic
in the margin of a book.
Even if you've been reading books for young readers in the United States for a number of years, chances are you still are not aware of Andy Griffiths. But he is considered by many the most popular and one of the best-selling authors for young readers in Australia. Griffiths and illustrator Terry Denton have created a Treehouse series, which has gained popularity in the States and in fact is a New York Times best-selling series. Each book contains 13 new stories, and they're up to their ninth book in the series, the 117-story Treehouse. Andy Griffiths is on book tour in the United States, and I was able to catch up with him to talk about the latest book. I'm Beth Golay, this is Marginalia, and here's our conversation. Your book is titled The 117-Story Treehouse, and you are the author, and it is illustrated by Terry Denton. You know, in the interest of full disclosure, this is the only one of your books I've read. So, you know, you are quite popular in Australia. I understand you're the most popular children's author in Australia. I was looking at, you know, some of your backlist, and for the Treehouse books, each one includes 13 stories. Is that right?
Yes, we started with a 13-story treehouse. I asked Terry actually to just design a fantasy treehouse, a kind of dangerous one with a bowling alley and a tank full of man-eating sharks and a marshmallow machine that fires marshmallows into your mouth whenever you're hungry. It just knows. And Terry drew this beautiful 13-story treehouse with a whole lot more levels. And I said, that's like my dream treehouse. It's like every kid's dream treehouse. We should write a book about us living there, trying to write a book, but we can't because there's too much stuff going on in the treehouse. And in fact, that's what the book is. It's everything that happens while we're not writing the book. And then after we'd done the 13 story, there was such a warm reception to it. We said, let's add another 13 stories. And then we got to the 26. So 26 story was the second book. And we added another 13, 39, 52. And we've been moving up in 13s for the last 9 years now.
You know, I think it makes it easy, or it might help people with math tables as well, because 13s are hard to do.
Exactly. Well, many kids in many countries now know their 13 times table up to 9 times 13, which is 117.
That's fantastic. So the characters in the book, well, the primary characters are Andy, Terry, and Jill. And I'm assuming Andy and Terry are based on you and the illustrator. Who is Jill? I saw your wife's name is Jill. Is that a coincidence?
Yeah, Jill is my wife and also a book editor. That's how we met many years ago. And we all three of us create the book together. So that we all have, you know, if there's anything that any of us are not comfortable with or think is not working, we rewrite until everyone is happy. I'll get a kind of an idea going and sort of throw up a loose structure. Terry will then run with it and create all this mad, wonderful artwork. And then Jill and I will tend to sit down and then try to piece all that together to make a comprehensible story. And that process happens over a year for each book. So there's a lot of meetings, a lot of input, a lot of rewritings until we get a beautiful stream of perfectly nonsensical, logical action.
Well, you mentioned that Terry drew the 13-story treehouse first and that you were able to write a book around it. And I was wondering, you know, if that continued, if the story comes first or the images. But the images still come first in every single one?
Oh, it's absolutely impossible to say at this point. I know what he's capable of now, which is almost anything. You know, he drew a never-ending staircase in one book. He's drawn a maze so complicated no one could ever get out of it, in the maze of doom. He can just seemingly draw anything. So I've got him in my head now. and I'll pitch things that I know is going to stretch him. But yeah, it's very much the pictures and the words are balanced so that a child, particularly an emerging reader, can get the hang of what's going on using the pictures, but still get quite a complicated story with very few words. So I'm using Terry to save them reading all the work of description, because when you're learning to read, every word you are working for and it comes hard. Whereas if we can, you know, visualise what's going on, it allows the child to feel empowered and to race on into this world of comic adventure fantasy and feel like they're really getting a reward for the effort they're putting in.
Now, in this latest one, in the 117 Story Treehouse book, there's a little bit of a turn because Terry, the character Terry, wants to tell the story and wants to write the story and not only do the illustrations. Is that what happened with this one?
Well, yeah, much to Andy, the character in the book. I mean, they are exaggerations of us. He's very, you know, won't let Terry tell the story because he thinks illustrators can't tell story. And Jill is the intercessory there and says, oh, I think you should let him have a go. And so he does and tells a ridiculous story that just involves dots and fills the page up with dots and turn into lines and then shapes. And that goes out of control. And I have to come in and end the story for him by saying, and then we woke up and it was all just a dream. And that attracts the attention of the story police, who then want to arrest us for crimes against storytelling, of which we are guilty of many, many, many offences over the last 9 books.
Now, I read on your website that most of your stories begin with a true experience. Is that the case with these 13?
With this one, often people will say, why do you always tell the story? So we get out and meet kids a lot, and the kids will always be asking us questions. So there was a constant kind of inquiry, why doesn't Terry ever tell the story? And I thought, well, that's because if he did, it's something terrible. What a great idea for a book. So the books really are a conversation with our audience that's been going on now for 25 years. Every book that comes out, they will tell us what they loved and what they want more of. And we've refined our practice over the years to kind of zero in on that.
So do the story police really exist out there?
Oh, in Australia, there's the CBC, the Children's Book Council, who give the gold medals to the best books. Needless to say, we never get a gold medal. I think we don't do the right thing according to what an adult thinks is a proper book for children. But we delight in that.
Well, one thing I loved about this is, you know, kids who might be reading along or have this read to them, they get to say things that they would normally get in trouble for, like poopy pants and tittle tattle and burp and laugh at the letter P. And I liked that about it. Is that what the story police might frown upon?
Oh, that would be one of the things. And that they're not being taught any lesson. There's no point to it other than to evoke laughter and freedom. And that wonderful sense of limitless possibility that I used to experience, and I still do when I read books, but particularly as a child, I would love to open a book and be swept away into a world of adventure that was unlike my day-to-day reality and where the normal rules, the polite rules of society, don't necessarily apply. Because in a book, it's its own world. It's like a thought experiment. And I think we can go to a book and we can experience, say, scary things in a very safe way. And that's what the book is for us to explore our fears, for us to explore what happens when people don't do the right thing or they don't do the sensible thing. And a child can read these books without thinking that you're giving them permission to act in a bad way or to say bad words. They realise this is what goes on in this little story bubble, and this can be an incredibly cathartic, helpful thing for the child reader and for the adult reader too. I mean, many adults enjoy crime thrillers where people get murdered. But it doesn't mean that everyone who reads a crime thriller is going to think, oh, I'm going to give that murder a go. And the same with kids. You can entertain the most outlandish, most ridiculous, most improper things in a very safe and ultimately helpful way.
Well, I also appreciated there was one point where when you were writing the story, you were saying, well, no, we better not do that because some kids might be reading this at bedtime and we don't want them to be scared. So I thought that was even thoughtful. It sounded like you put thought into it anyway.
Oh, we are totally, you know, as I say, we spend a year pretty much full time figuring out these stories and figuring out how to take the kids to the edge of the cliff without freaking them out or causing nightmares, but also going to those places and also being aware that the parents are reading along with the child. And that's one of the great pieces of feedback we get, that whole families enjoy the books together, laughing and shaking their heads over the antics of the characters. So, yeah, it's a group thing, and we are very responsive to the kids reading it.
There were nods to Dr. Seuss and Beatrix Potter and Maurice Sendak. I'm assuming you would draw inspiration from these authors, but any others as well?
Yeah. Oh, many. I grew up with a house full of books. That was, you know, very lucky. But I could reach for my Dr. Seuss. I could look at Alice's Adventures in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll, which is an abiding kind of influence and you know, high mark to aim for. So there was Alice in Wonderland, and there was an English author called Enid Blyton, who was famous for writing stories of adventure and fantasy. And she had a story called The Magic Faraway Tree, where three children discovered this tree where pixies and strange people lived in the tree. And you could go up to the top level and there would be a land, always a different land at the top of the tree. It might be upside down land or it might be eating cake land. And you would go into these lands with the kids and experience pure fantasy, but always with the slight worry that the land might move away and you'd be trapped in the land. So I guess Faraway Tree was very influential on me. And that's one of the models I use. Or not the model, but the feeling I got when I read that book is what I want the kids of today to feel when they're reading the Treehouse book.
Is it true you're a former vocalist in a rock band or several rock bands?
Yeah, that was still is a great area of passion in my life, music, particularly when I was a teenager. Alice Cooper was one of my favourites, the sort of theatrical shock rock. It just seemed so funny to me and so cool. And so I had it was an imaginary band for a long time, and then we did a performance for the school. And it went really, really well. And I found myself out the front of this band, not because I was a good singer, but because I wrote all the lyrics and conceived of all the songs, which were all funny. And people really enjoyed it. So that's what I did for a long time. I did a literature degree by day and punk rock bands by night.
That is fantastic. So is there anything that you want to talk about with this book or this series or this tour that I haven't asked?
You know, we're so pleased the books are finding readers in the States. For a long time, these books were only published in Australia for most of our career. They never did very well the few times they were published in other countries. So we assumed we were just too Australian for the rest of the world. And we were a bit rough and we would go a bit far in some of the earlier books. But we've been delighted to see Treehouse just takes the rough edges off a little bit and speaks to children, both boys and girls. We're really happy about boys and girls, young and old, and even the parents and grandparents are enjoying them. So, yeah, it's a pure delight and an honour to be able to come out here and meet you all.
That was Andy Griffiths, author of the book, The 17-Story Treehouse, which was published by Fywell & Friends. Thanks for joining us for Marginalia. Discover more episodes at kmuw.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Marginalia is produced at KMUW Wichita. Our engineers are Mark Statzer and Torrin Anderson. Our editor is Luann Stevens, and I am the producer. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.